So welcome back, everybody, to the Alpha News podcast. We're changing things up a little bit. We're going to do little shorter segments talking about one particular issue. And something very interesting we did this week was cover the primary day, and a lot of really crazy things came out of that day. We were working late into the evening, so we're going to talk about primaries, and we are very excited. We have our co-host back, Bob Anderson. Bob, how are you doing this weekend?
Well, I'm doing just fine. Glad to be back on the air, so let's get this podcast going.
Absolutely. So how closely were you watching primary day?
Well, I was watching them. I'm down in the second CD, so I was keeping an eye on this Jason Lewis race for sure. I was able to vote in the primary, so... there was a really low turnout, so it's too bad, but I think it's going to change a lot at the presidential election.
Absolutely. I actually was in CD2 for primary day, and I was at the Jason Lewis party, and so we got to talk to him and interview him and be there when they found out that they were victorious. The very first numbers that came in were, only a few precincts reporting, and I think it was Darlene that was ahead at first, so there was an initial like, oh no, from everyone who was in attendance supporting Lewis. And so we got to talk to him briefly after, and he said, time to focus on Angie Craig, time to get down to it. And were you a Lewis supporter, or who were you pulling for?
No, actually, I was the most unique candidate supporter in that race.
Matt Erickson?
That would be Matt Erickson, yes, because I'm definitely on the outsider part of this. But no, Jason Lewis, I have no problem with him winning it. But no, Matt, he's a Trump guy. I'm a Trump guy, that. So he's out there, but I like him.
I actually got to speak with Matt Erickson twice, and he definitely is an interesting character, that's for sure.
And he's a vet, so I appreciate that.
So he got like 6% of the vote, right?
Yeah, yep. It was, there's four people in there, so, at least he threw his hat in the ring, and I do appreciate that.
Absolutely. And so we spoke to a couple political analysts and Keith Downey about the race in CD2, and everyone across the country is calling this a battleground district, and because it's such a swing district, do you see, since you live there, do you see more Craig signs? Do you see more Lewis signs? What are you seeing?
I haven't seen anything yet so far. It was more of the, the smaller races, the state and Senate House races, but I do think now this is going to heat up big, and Angie Craig, they're talking, big things about her, but, I'm new living back in this second CD. And when I was running, I ran in the 6th CD, and that was supposed to be the most conservative district. They used to talk about the CD2 being very conservative. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't imagine Angie Craig, that being that progressive liberal candidate, going in the 2nd CD. I don't see a chance.
So it's funny that you mentioned that, because we asked Jason Lewis, what is your messaging to people? Why shouldn't they pick Angie Craig? And he told us that she is sort of a more Bernie Sanders-esque candidate. So we're going to play a clip about what he had to say about that.
If you recall, Angie Craig was sort of the Bernie Sanders candidate of the Democrat Party. There was a more moderate Democrat in. They cleared the way for a hardcore left-wing candidate. And that is not where the voters of the 2nd District are. And we're going to point that out.
So what do you think about what he had to say? Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. But not even so much of a Bernie Sanders. I would think more, she's got the backing of Emily's List. Now, that is something, if you're running in a liberal district, maybe in downtown Minneapolis, but if this is a conservative district, like they say, that's really not something that's going to pull in your favor. It was like when I was running in the 6th, Terrell Clark had the endorsement of Emily's List. I always brought that out because they only support the most pro-choice candidates there are. And I would think the social issues will be big in the 2nd CD if it is conservative. They're not going to be big on same-sex marriage. Not that that's anything wrong with it, but that's her lifestyle. And then if she's getting the support of the pro-choice Emily's List and all those associations, I just can't imagine that she has a chance. I would have thought they would have gone more with a Blue Dog Democrat type. More somebody that's a little more moderate, but she's extreme, so that's going to be very difficult.
Yeah, and I've heard her called, Lewis says that she's sort of a Bernie Sanders-esque person. Your candidate, Matt Erickson, kept calling her Hillary Jr., so I've heard a lot of references for her, but she does have a lot of her own financial backing, which may have given her a leg up against any primary challengers.
Oh, that's probably true, and I didn't know who was going against her. I just learned about Angie Craig after this. I started looking into it to see now who their candidate was, but I was shocked to see really how progressive she is.
So there's a couple of other big things that came out of primary day now. Tom Emmer got his primary victor, or he's the victor there, and he was the endorsed candidate, and actually all of the Republican endorsed candidates came out victorious. So Tom Emmer, I don't think there's any chance that district's going to swing, so he's going to be back into the House. We have a race going on, but there was no primaries with Paulson and Bonnoff. Same with the Mills-Nolan race, no primaries there. And then I believe Jim Hagedorn in one had a primary challenger, Steve Williams, but
Steve Williams, if that's the same one I know of, Steve, he was with the Independence Party before he ran for Senate also.
Okay, yeah, we tried to reach out to him for an interview, and it didn't work out. But we did get to talk to Jim Hagedorn. You can see that video up on alphanewsmn.com. And even Keith Downey said that there's a chance that Hagedorn could pull through against Tim Walz. Have you heard anything about that race?
No, I haven't, but I'll start paying attention to it. I mean, that would be great. We do need some strong Republicans in our CD district, and I hope Tom Emmer comes around, because there's another one I lost on. I must pull him for A.J. Kerr, and I couldn't vote in that district. But I think the pressure that Emmer got, he's going to have to realize that he's going to have to start coming back to his conservative roots that put him there in the first place.
Granted that Emmer killed it in that district, and he's a very charismatic, likable guy. I just think there's a little faction within his own party that he's sort of... I guess they feel let down, is what I've sort of been hearing. But, you know, through and through, he's a good Republican to have on the ticket. Is there any other interesting congressional races that we didn't cover?
Well, I think the 3rd District, I think, you know, people are talking so much about Angie Craig with against Jason Lewis. I think Eric Paulson would be the one, Terry Bonhoeff, that because Eric Paulson is definitely in the Rhino category. So I would think there'd be a little bit of an even closer battle there. That's one I would keep an eye on, too.
Yeah, definitely. I spoke to a political analyst the other day, and he was saying that, you know, there's 20-some swing districts. 3 of them happen to be in Minnesota this year, so election night is going to be very interesting for reporters. Then there was some interesting primary races coming out of the state legislature. House Speaker Kurt Dowd, the endorsed candidate, did defeat Alan Duff, who was his primary challenger. We had Cal Barr defeat long-term Representative Tom Hackbarth. Sean Nienau lost his primary. He's been in the Senate for a while. Let's see, I'm trying to think of some other big ones. Obershad Turner lost to Rena Moran. And I'm trying to think what else. What were some other ones?
I know the Cal Barr one I was happy about. That was a, you know, he had a lot of support. And that was, he took out, he had the endorsement, but, you know, they continued on into the primary, but he prevailed. So I like that one. I like Rashad Jennings. You had interviewed him.
Rashad Turner, yep. I interviewed Rashad Turner. Yes. And, you know, texted him that evening. It was like, how you feeling? Can I get a quote? Raina Moran did very well out there.
Well, I think one thing that hurt him, too, was they were offering to sign up and have a chance to win a free car if you were going to vote for him.
Really? Tell me more about that.
Oh, yeah. It was somebody brought it up on, he claims it wasn't him, but somebody on the campaign, they had put out there that a vote for him, or even if you voted, you had a chance to win this car. I mean, it was kind of a beater or a $500 car, but still, it's illegal. You can't be offering things like that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I think that didn't help at the last minute either, but I don't know how close that was. Did was it a very close primary, or did she take him out pretty easy?
She took him out pretty easy. Another interesting takeout, which we'll go into further on another podcast, was Phyllis Kahn. She's done. Yes. What do you think about that?
Well, anybody that serves for 22 terms, I think, is absolutely ridiculous. I was happy to see that she lost, but I'm even more excited to see the Republican candidate that's going up against the one that took out Phyllis Kahn. And I think you have an interview with him.
Yep. So there was Ilhan Omar, who defeated her 2 primary challengers, who included Phyllis Kahn. And now she's going up against Abdimalik Oscar, who is the Republican candidate. And so no matter who wins in the general, it will be Minnesota will be getting its first Somali American representative. That's a big deal. And we will be going into that in another podcast, because we actually got to speak to Abdimalik. And so that'll be interesting. Speaker of the House is staying in. Is that going to affect the Tea Party at all? You know, they say, if you're going to shoot the king, don't miss. There's a faction of the party that tried. Yeah. What do you think is going to come out of that?
Well, I think anytime there is something like this, it should bring out, it should make him stronger. If he realized that there was a lot of opposition, maybe he needs to reevaluate where he's coming from. And hopefully that's the purpose of primaries is, you know, these come out and if you're going to challenge somebody, that's the time to do it. And it didn't pass or they failed, but at least they awoken a lot of issues out there. So we'll see what happens. I'm all for it. I think everybody should be challenged in these primaries. It makes you a tougher opponent in the general.
That's very true. And Speaker Dowd did very well out there, so he obviously still has a lot of support. And now he's going from one battle to the next. We just did a story yesterday on how he's still battling it out with Governor Dayton and Senator Tom Bach about Southwest Light Rail in a special session. They met on Friday. They're meeting again next Thursday. Do you think Speaker Dowd will be hurt at all if he does give in to Southwest Light Rail?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But first of all, if they're going to have a special session, nobody should get paid. If they're going to go, it's on their time. If you don't get your work done during the session, then you stay till you get it done. And if we don't put this in there, what's the incentive to get their work done at the end of the session? Mm-hmm. These special sessions are ridiculous. So we gotta, you know, put a stop to it. If they want to come and debate all summer, go ahead, but it's on your dime. I mean, when I don't get my work done at work, I stay till I get it done. And it's not on overtime, you know? So I hate these special sessions. And light rail, hey, we've got so many other transportation issues to take care of with our bridges and our roads. And if we need the other options, let's go with buses. I'm not opposed to buses. Let's get buses going. If the demand is there for public transportation, at least get our roads and bridges taken care of, use more buses, and then we'll see what we can do down the road. But right now, that's not our most important thing.
Yeah, I would be fine with more buses. Plus, buses can get you closer to your actual home as compared to light rail. And so I think, as you were mentioning before about the Cal Bar race that was right next door to Speaker Dowd's district, that just showed once again the strength of the endorsement. And we actually talked to Keith Downey the Wednesday, bright and early, the Wednesday after primary night, and talked to him about the strength of the Republican endorsement, because when it was first discovered that the Republican Party was millions of dollars in debt, people questioned the strength of the endorsement. Did it actually mean anything? And we talked to him about how it actually does mean something now. It clearly does, with every endorsed Republican candidate being victorious on primary evening. I'm going to play a quick clip.
The endorsement, I think, has always meant a lot. But as compared to 3 years ago or so, where people were really questioning it and whether there was really any value, any ability that the party or the local districts had to help you as a candidate, they questioned that. And I hope after last night, people will question that less.
So what do you think? The Republican endorsement, is it coming back?
Well, you know, like I have said before, I'm very new to the Republican Party. The only party I ever belonged to was the Independence Party. And speaking on my own experience, I didn't have the endorsement of the party the first time I ran. They had cross-endorsed. Well, I got kept out of a lot of debates. I mean, they don't like the third party in there anyway, but if you don't have the endorsement, they use that against me. Mm-hmm. So I sought the endorsement the next time, got it, and it helped. So I think it does help, and I'm happy to see that it's bringing back some strength and then the party unity. And they're going to need to raise money. And that's the thing about all these anti-Trumpers, or like I like to call them Republicans for Hillary. Donald Trump is the one that's raising the money for the Republican Party right now. And I think they should cozy up, don't run away from him, and let's get this party back on its feet.
Speaking of Donald Trump, there's been some discussion about how he's going to be affecting the down ballot races and if that's going to affect, say, Jason Lewis or some of the swing districts that we have in the House and Senate here. How do you see Donald Trump taking or playing into what's going on at the state level?
Well, the way I look at it is if you run away from Donald Trump, you're not getting my vote. And I hope that these CD candidates are going to be with Trump. He's the top of our ticket. He is change. He's an outsider. This is the year of the outsider, not only in America, but in the world. You can see what happened when Brexit. So I think it's up to the candidate. They can do what they want, but I would suggest I'd be with Trump, because Stuart Mills up there in the 8th, he will be. I would think Jason Lewis would be. Tom Emmer was there at the convention. He's the one that announced for Minnesota for Trump, so I know he's not running away, which I'm appreciative of. Eric Paulson will be interesting. See where he is.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, I would think that race would be closer than this one down in the second. I think Jason Lewis will take care of Angie Craig.
I'm very curious to see what's going to happen on election night. I'm going to be so excited.
You're very fortunate that you are in the media and that you are a legit reporter that's going to have access to all this. You got to be excited.
I'm excited that the very first presidential election I'm covering is this one.
Exactly. You hit the biggie. This is like the Super Bowl of it. I mean, seriously, I'm a lot older than you, and I haven't been this excited about the presidential race since Ross Perot. I was pretty fired up with him.
Yeah, I feel
way
like
way before your time.
Nothing will compare to this. Every presidential election, I'm like, meh. Yeah, it's not 16.
Yeah, yeah. This is something. This is something none of us have ever experienced, really. And 16 Republicans found that out when a first time candidate took them all out. That had to have been shocking. It still is shocking to them.
So, any final thoughts on the primaries? What do you think Phyllis Kahn's going to do now?
Y'all should probably be some type of activist, or I don't know, maybe after 22 terms, she'll just kind of sit back and keep an eye on things. I don't know. I doubt it if she's been in this. I mean, that's a long time. Has that got to be a record of anybody?
Longest serving lawmaker in history of Minnesota.
They talk about term limits. I don't really think we need term limits. I think the voters have to wake up and realize, why do we keep electing? Let's try something different. That's why I like the Republican candidate in that district. You can pronounce these names so much better than me.
I had to practice.
Well, good for you. But I saw your clip of him, and I thought, you know, 22 terms of a Democrat. Why not try something different? Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a Somali American either way. Mm-hmm. So you take that out of it. Now it equalizes that. Now she's got the woman card, but she's got some issues too. So we'll see how that plays out. But I'm excited. You know, I think they really should have some representation from there. If you see the Riverside area, it's so heavily populated with Somalia people that why not have somebody representing them that knows their culture, knows their what they need and what's going on? I mean, what the heck? I guess I'm supportive. I just would hope the Republican one gets in.
Yep, and we will get into that in our next podcast. So that's sort of a rundown of the winners and losers of primary day. Talked a little bit about Jason Lewis and Keith Downey. And so now they're all on to the general election in November, and we will definitely be keeping you posted on that. So subscribe at alphanewsmn.com because you won't want to miss it. And definitely follow us on Facebook and Twitter. There's always breaking information on there. Thank you so much, Bob, and we will talk to you again soon.
Oh, thanks, Julie. I really enjoyed doing this, and I love the opportunity to be able to partake in it. So
stick around.